Well, good morning. I had a couple prayer requests. One of them I'll wait till this is off, but Michelle's sister, Kristen, she was still having problems with fainting and so on, and so Monday at 10 o'clock, she has an EEG, stickers on the head, run a test, but she has, I don't know if they leave at 4 or they have to be at the hospital at 4 a.m. But anyway, Michelle's supposed to be the driver, so you might pray that that works out well and they can figure out if there's something going on there. Bob and Michelle got bad colds and thought they just won't share, so so that's probably a good thing. Well, hey, we got a new face in the family here, huh? All right. You gonna do the introductions, Margie, so we know who we're talking? Okay. All right. We didn't have that name tag, so I didn't. Okay. All right. So, other prayer requests? Mark?
Please pray for family salvation. And please pray for Dan Brady in his health circumstance.
That's the lung issues, right?
Yes. Okay. And Jenny and Christy for their spiritual growth and family. Bennett and Jim also. And Jenny has a serious health issue.
Okay. I see that hand. Yes, ma'am.
My cousin Joseph just had heart surgery, and well, he had it yesterday, and today he's kind of, he doesn't know why he was in the hospital, so they're concerned that hopefully when he gets off all the meds, everything will start gelling, but he doesn't know why he's there yet.
That's not surprising. A lot of times when they do, was it bypass?
I'm not sure exactly. He's in Norfolk,
okay.
Virginia, and I'm only getting it to my daughter, so she's...
There's about 3 days in there they don't remember anything, which is probably a good thing, so... Oh, that hurts. Why does that hurt?
She wants to go home. That's all it is. Yeah.
Doesn't everybody want to go home? Somebody that's... No, I kind of like it here. I like being pampered, and I like the food. No, thanks. I don't like the plastic sheets. Was there, yes?
Prayer for Allie's best friend from high school. Her name is Katie. She got married last August, and they got pregnant in September, but she's having a hard time with her pregnancy. She's sick all the time. They put her on this medication, but that makes her really tired, and she's working and going to school. So she's a busy young woman, and she's tired.
She's going to school.
And Fred.
Tired, yeah, right. Yeah. You could work and go to school and be tired without being pregnant, right? Yeah, well, plate's full. Yeah, okay. All right. So Allie's learning this, how would they say, vicariously?
Yeah. She is. She's, they're so excited. They already picked out a name and all this business, but yeah, they said, I don't know if I ever want kids.
That's the memory fades, you know. Mike.
Yeah, continue to pray for my son-in-law, James. He's been done with his treatments about 3 weeks, but he's still having issues trying to eat, and he's lost quite a bit of weight.
Okay.
Continue to pray for him.
All right. Okay, good. Anything else? Knowing once, twice? Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can bring these requests to you. You know exactly what the situation is, the problems that people face, and know best how to heal and deal with them. We just put them into your care. We pray for Mark's extended family, for those who don't know Christ as Savior, that you continue to work in their hearts and lives, bring people into their lives that would share salvation message with them and give them that, through your Holy Spirit, that desire to know more about the Lord Jesus and about how they can have assurance of their salvation, sins forgiven and headed for heaven. We pray for Dan Brady, that you'll continue to encourage him, help him with the physical needs and those that are assisting him there. Long process that he's went through and difficult one. We pray that you, your will might be accomplished there. We think of Jenny and her health issues. Don't know what they are, but you do. And we pray, give wisdom to the doctors as they seek to treat her, but ultimately we know you are the great physician and able to bring healing even when the doctor's not sure what to do. Also for her and Christy and their family, that you give them an interest in spiritual things, draw them to yourself that they might come to know Christ. We pray for Joseph as he's recovering from this heart surgery. We pray that you'd protect him against infection, other potential problems there, that he would be healing and have better heart function from the result of the surgery. And we pray that he might soon be able to be up and around and able to go home. For Allie's friend Katie, we pray that you'd minister strength and healing there, encourage her. Tough times, lots of things involved there with school and work and pregnancy. We pray that you'd help that pregnancy to smooth out, and she wouldn't have as many problems that she's experiencing right now, and that if she does need some medicine there, that would be a better one than she's on right now. For Mike's son-in-law, James, Lord, we pray that you'll continue to bring healing there. Thank you for bringing him through the chemo and radiation, and yet still having difficulty being able to eat normal food and losing weight. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen him and encourage him through this. We ask that you guide us in our study time here now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we started this first this lesson a couple weeks ago. Last week we were digging out of the snow and preparing to shiver. Isn't that amazing? You can go from, what, 7 below with 20 below wind chill factor to 35 today. Wow. You know, the birds will be out chirping. And look, he just shook the snow off of these and brought them in today, you know. So there's hope, right? Okay, so we're looking at lesson number 2. We'll review a little bit here. Faith is resilient in trials. Our key verse found there in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers or various types of temptation, knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith worketh patience. And again, we see here there was a purpose behind all of this. You know, God's not doing it just for the fun of it. He's trying to teach us something. And yet we need to be good learners. We need to try to learn from the adversity that comes into our lives. That's one of the tools that the Lord uses. And we saw there in verse 1, previous to this, says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, greeting. You may remember, persecution had come on the church. People scattered. I was thinking we had a little bit of a modern day thing like that. It wasn't a spiritual thing as much as it was political. But when Russia was trying to invade Ukraine and bombing the daylights out of them, people scattered. You know, they stuffed what they could in a suitcase and got on a bus or train or whatever kind of transportation they could find and zoomed off to Poland and various other countries around. And I'm not real up on all the everything that goes on there in Eastern Europe, you know, whether they're all speaking the same language or not, but they're not. There may be some that they can kind of understand, but Ukrainians, for the most part, speak Ukrainian, and they go to Poland and they're speaking Polish. You know, you can just I remember when we were going on vacation and we cut up through Quebec and we were camping in Quebec for a night or so, and we were surrounded by all these people speaking French, and for the most part didn't know what in the world they were talking about, which is probably a good thing. But yeah, so they're scattered. And he's writing to these believers that are scattered in various directions. And again, they might be able to speak the language of the people where they landed. But again, they left kind of with a shirt on their back. They left their homes, furniture, belongings, their job. You know, you just end up somewhere else and you got to try to pick up the pieces and figure out, okay, where are we going to live? We can't live with this family or in the basement of the church or wherever forever here. We need to find some place to live until we can get back home. And so we see here that there was adversaries or adversity coming in, but yet God had a purpose behind it. And we see how some of that works. He says, at first, that might sound strange to us. My brethren, again, he's talking to believers. He says, count it all joy. You know, we're thinking joy. Usually we've got a big grin on our face or something. Well, it's not just always outwardly, but we can have joy within us, even when we're in trying and difficult situations. When you fall into divers or various kinds of temptations or trials or tests. And we see here that the Lord's trying to accomplish several things in the process of all this. We see this in verse 3 and 4. He says, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh patience. And so God does test our faith, not to see that it isn't any good, it's going to fail. The idea is that it's going to pass the test. Kind of like Job. God wasn't trying to destroy Job, but he allowed Satan to test his faith, and he remained faithful and true to the Lord. And so he saw the genuineness, you know. And that's kind of how we find out where we're at spiritually too, is when we're tested, that yes, I am depending on the Lord. And we learn and grow from that. It doesn't always feel good, but there is a purpose behind it. The Lord knows what's going on, and he's in charge of that as to how high the heat goes and how long it lasts. God's in charge. We see, secondly, that it boosts our endurance. And, you know, I was trying to think of what you might be doing. A long time ago, I read an account of somebody that did the hike the Appalachian Trail. Well, I think it's like over 2,000 miles somewhere. It's a long walk, you know? And I don't know, when you go, you say, I'm going for a walk. Well, is that a couple blocks, maybe a couple miles? And you think, well, no, we got to do about 20 miles today. You know, you don't just start out doing 20 miles. You got to work up to it. You got to build endurance, you know, and it's not just you walking along. You got a backpack on you that's carrying your food and your bedroll and pillow and everything else, cooking utensils, everything along the way. You got to have some pretty sturdy shoes. You're not running out there in your, you know, Skechers or something. They'd be wore out in a few days. But you build up your endurance so that when the time comes, you're better able to handle it. Well, same thing happens in trials and tests. God builds up our ability to handle tests and trials, okay? And he touches on that. We touched about this here a couple weeks ago, but it talks about patience. And it was really kind of dealing primarily with circumstances. The similar word to this is that of long-suffering, and that deals primarily with people. We're long-suffering towards people, patience towards circumstances. You know, if we had more time, we could discuss, you know, which is easier to deal with, people or circumstances, okay? But it builds up our endurance, and we see, again, that we're better able to handle the next test that comes along. Okay, and that gives us confidence, though. We look back and, okay, Lord, help me here and here and here and here. He's going to help me with this one, too, okay? And this can be just normal kind of adversities that people experience, or it may even be temptations of the devil that he's trying to get us to sin in some way or another. But we're able to bear up underneath this, okay? We don't buckle and curl up in a ball and give up, okay? And then the third element was that is to enhance our maturity, to help us grow and mature. And you see this. I mean, physically, we grow up, right? Most people do, right? And the normal thing. Doesn't mean everybody matures. You got people that are 40, 50, 60 years old that still kind of behave like a kid. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have fun, but it's just they didn't seem to mature. They didn't get wisdom along the way. You know, they're still doing stuff that you'd think maybe teenagers would do. Here we see here that he talks about being perfect, doing its perfect work. There in verse 4, let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Now, perfect's not sinless perfection, but the idea, again, is mature or complete. And this is God's kind of goal for these things to happen in our lives as we're facing trials, okay? And then it talks about the prayer, you know. Usually when trials come, prayers close by. We're praying probably more than we would have otherwise. And he says there in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, that upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Okay, so it's not just your generic wisdom. Okay, I need to know which house to buy, which car to buy, which, you know, I mean, God can give us wisdom in those things too here. But here he's focused on, he's going to give us wisdom as we're going through the trials and difficulties. And he's going to help us to have better understand this. Doesn't mean he's going to explain, okay, just so you know, this is why we're doing this. Sometimes, do you remember back when your kids were little and you might be trying to explain to one of the little ones, okay, this one here, this is why you can't go out and play in the road. I realize it's nice, it's smooth, your little tricycle, all the rest of this stuff works better than it does in the grass, but we don't want you to turn into a grease spot. Now, they don't necessarily understand all that. We're trying. We may not, if God were to explain it all to us, it might not make an awful lot of sense to us at that particular time. But thing is, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's trying to accomplish. He knows the best way to accomplish it, okay? And so he allows us to come into our lives. So he promises wisdom, but he doesn't promise an explanation. We may go through the trial and not have a clue as to why it happened, why me, you know, all the things that sometimes run through our minds, or why now. But he gives us wisdom, knowing, helping us to know that, again, God's in charge. God's got a purpose for this. I like the illustration where it talks about God's got one eye on the thermostat and one hand on, or the thermometer and one hand on the thermostat. He knows just how high to turn up the heat, okay, for it to be a trial, but he's not trying to destroy us. You know, he's not cranking that thing up to 160 just to watch us sweat to death, all right? And so he, although this wisdom isn't unconditional, it doesn't just apply to anything and everything. And I think lots of times we mistakenly run to this verse when we need wisdom. We can still pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, but this is kind of focused in on dealing with the trial specifically here. And he says there in verse 5, he says, let him ask of God. God will give it to him liberally. God is generous with giving out his wisdom. All right? And yet we see here, it's inexhaustible. We're never going to wear out God. You know, it's not, oh, you again? but there is a hindrance, okay? There's a bit of a potential stumbling block here, and he shares what that is. You pray, but he says, notice verse 6, let him pray in faith, okay? The idea is to pray believing that God's going to hear, God's going to answer, okay? We're not just going through the motions. It's like we took these prayer requests, we prayed for them, because we believe that God's going to hear and he's going to respond to each one of those situations. And he says, but he says, not wavering. For he that wavereth or doubts is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So he's saying, you don't go into this praying, well, God probably doesn't have a clue what's going on. Do you ever talk to people and they say, you just don't understand. You just don't understand what I'm going through. Can we say that to people? May not, all right? Nobody's in our shoes going through exactly what we're going through and have all the details, but God does. God knows exactly what's going on. And for us to come thinking, you know, we know better, you know, here's God, this is how you need to solve this problem. Or that, again, it probably won't do any good, but hey, we'll throw up a prayer anyway. No, we need to pray believing that God is going to hear and respond. Because God says, if that's the way you're going to be, you're going to think I haven't got a clue, then, you know, that one's going to bounce off the ceiling, all right? And so we have to be careful as we pray that we're doing so in faith, truly believing that God's going to hear and respond. Now, he says the perspective here of the poor. Look at verse 9. He says, and this is what he's talking about when he says low degree. He says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Now, we're not saying that these people are of low class or no class, some the dregs of society. The idea behind this low degree is these are poverty-stricken people. Again, it's back to verse 1. These are the people that are scattered. Like I mentioned, these guys were scattered with a shirt on their back, and they didn't have much. They're going to cities where there's probably not a relative that's going to open the door for them, provide food, clothing, shelter, and a check every month, okay? If you're a, yeah, never mind. If you're coming across the southern border, you might expect that. But these guys weren't getting this, all right? And so he says they are facing economic hardships, right? And he says, but they could rejoice. Well, how in the world, why would you rejoice that, you know, let's see, what do I got here? Oh, that one's safe. Okay, there's nothing in that one. Oh, here, I got a quarter and a knife. But, see, I made it through the detector out there. You know. they didn't have two nickels to rub together. And yet, how or why could they rejoice? Okay, they have one another, okay? It's kind of like tornado comes through, tears down your house, but hey, the family's still together. We're all alive, okay? Anything else? Okay, their faith, all right? Well, the idea behind this is the fact that we can be destitute as far as this world is concerned, but we can be exalted or lifted up on high to have a high position. Say, how's that? Okay, this guy's out looking for a job. How does he have a high position? We don't in this world. But is this world our home? No, folks, we're passing through. It's like an extended vacation. Now you're thinking, vacations are supposed to be fun. Have you ever had a vacation that wasn't all fun? You can't wait to get back home, you know? Okay, well, here, the thing is, he wants them to look beyond this life, right? Again, this life, okay, it's like, do you remember I think I've used this illustration before, but do you remember bad stuff that happened back to you in kindergarten? No. Somebody took your rug, you know, or they wouldn't share the finger paints or something, you know, and you're just death. Or it was Valentine's Day and you didn't get a Valentine from everybody in the class, even though you had your shoebox all done up nice or something. And you come home crushed. No, it's gone. It's forgotten. That's the way this world's going to be, all right? There are no tears shed in heaven about what happened back in the, you know, 2020 to whatever it ends up being, okay? Our citizenship is in heaven, all right? Christ is preparing a home for us, John 14 tells us, okay? It's going to be awesome, all right? Now, you could, I don't know what the builders are around here, but if you had lots of money and you could pick out the top-notch builder and, you know, you had all your dream house, okay, put together, I don't think it's going to be anything close to what the Lord's got in mind for us. You know, you hear about people that, you know, the builder, he's going to build you this nice house. But once in a while, they shave a little here and there to keep the costs down and so on. And so maybe those windows that work up and down really good the first couple of years, after a while, like, oh, clunk, goes back down, you know. Or whatever happens, the doors don't shut quite like they used to. There's stuff starting to shift and sag. No, he's going to care for us. You know, some people have got their whole future wrapped up in their Social Security. Oh, boy, I can't wait till I get that Social Security check. That's going to take care of all my needs. We could do a little interviews here and say, how's it work out for you? My mom used to say, I wish they'd stop giving me a raise. What? Well, now she lived in subsidized housing, okay? So they would take a part. Medicare would take a part. whatever else, who else ever had their fingers in her check would take a part. And when they got done, she had less than she had to start with. It's like, just leave me alone. Every time you think you're giving me a raise, I come up farther behind. And so it's not going to be like that when we get to heaven, right? We won't be checking the mailbox to see if the check shows up in the mail or your bank account, all right? God's going to have it provided. And he says, our citizenship is out of this world. He give us the far view of things, you know, because sometimes you can get down and depressed, whether it's you look at the balance in your checkbook or you think all you got to go, or, you know, what you got to do next week, you know, oh man, how am I ever going to get all this done, you know, and so on. He's saying, take the far view. It doesn't mean we're ostriches with our head in the sand. We're pretending like everything going on now doesn't happen. We still make it through that, but he's, it's not always going to be that way. It was like this old guy in a church service, and the pastor said, could you share a verse, one of your favorite verses? And different people shared verses. An old fellow stands up. You know, remember what he says?
This too shall pass.
Yeah, and it came to pass. He said, it didn't come to stay. It came to pass. And that's the way. What do you know lasts for a lifetime? I mean, there might be some health issue or something. But hey, it's going to end either when they put us, you know, the last breath or the rapture happens. Okay? And there's a whole lot more ahead of us than there is behind us. And so he's saying to these poverty-stricken people, you know, faced with all kinds of different pressures on them, he said, you have an inheritance that's reserved. There's nothing that's going to happen on this earth that's going to take that away. You know, you may have been putting away faithfully towards your retirement and think, boy, at this time I'm going to be able to retire. There's a lot of people in the last couple of years maybe thought that, but you know what? They're still working. Or else they went out and found another job. You go to the stores. You know, the people 70, 80 years old, they're running a cash register. Why? Not just for something to do. No, it's because inflation came to visit. You know, and they don't know when or how it's going to end. Do you think we'll ever see eggs at 99 cents anymore?
No.
Don't think so. Not when they know that they can get 7 or 8,
that's,
you know.
Crazy.
And so that's just one thing. But he says it's not going to be that way forever. You know, God's got better things planned for us on ahead. And so he says, I like the way the writer here says, their comparison with eternity, you know, they're in desperate straits now, but it's going to have a short lifespan, okay? It's not going to last forever. It's going to fade fast, kind of like the grass. It grows, it withers, dies, you know, and so on. And so he says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he's exalted. But there's a flip side to this, okay? Not everybody's poor and destitute. He says there in verse 10, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Well, are we rejoicing if we were rich and brought low? Is money the answer to all of our problems? No. You can have millions in the bank, but if that doctor comes to you after your physical and says, you know that lump? Not good. Okay? You may be able to go to the best hospitals, get the best treatment and everything else, but if it's time for you to, you're kind of like your numbers up, it's not going to change things. Okay? There may come up, and it's possible for us to trust in our riches, thinking this is going to get me through, I'm going to make it through this, that it can fail. Okay? And they had a depression in the 30s. You think that's the only time that could ever happen? No, it could happen. I'm not saying it's going to. And here we just try to decide if we're in a recession or not. You know, okay? But he says, That can pass. It can go away. It can be here today, gone tomorrow. Especially if you, I can't remember the guy's name, but you know who I'm talking about, the Bitcoin guy that's looking, well, I don't know, maybe he's out on bail now. I don't know. You know, but how many millions of dollars he's taken from people and it's gone. You know, you think, oh, my life savings are dumped into this guy. He was going to make me rich and all the rest of that stuff. And then, you know, you look at your next statement and it says zero, you know, wow. Yeah, that's not the answer to all our problems. It could be here today, you know, gone tomorrow. And, you know, and for those who think that's the solution to it all, you know, that running down, I still, from time to time, I go into Speedway and get myself a cup of coffee. And, you know, I got one eye open from home. I want to get the other eye open for the rest of the day. And there'll be these people in here, especially when it was up to however many millions it was. And these people, you know, gray-haired people, man, we're shelling out the bucks. We're going to, you know, and your chances of winning are so many million to one. And, you know, okay, have you ever read any of these stories about the people who've won the lottery? Yeah, a lot of them, again, are worse off than they were before they won, because before they had a job and they had some income. Here, the money's all gone. They don't have any friends anymore because the friends were mad at them because they didn't get a chunk of the pie, or their relatives, you know. And, you know, they bought all this stuff, but now, you know, we can't afford to pay the taxes on it or whatever. And they're coming and repossessing all this stuff. And yeah, I mean, it can be here today, gone tomorrow. And so that's not the answer to it all. But again, that doesn't happen to everybody that's got money. Guys, sometimes we get the idea, you know, having money is bad. We look at the scriptures. There's a lot of people that had money, okay? And they used it for good things. God blessed them. All right. And when he blesses, it doesn't mean just that you have good health. but you look at Abraham and some of his descendants, King David, Solomon. Now, some of them went astray. OK, but they could do that with or without money. But it's what you do with it. And that's the thing. It's not what you wish you had. You know, we're going to be held accountable when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ with what the Lord gave us, whether it's a little or a lot, right? We're not accountable for what we didn't have or what we wish we had. You know, some people can't. Boy, if I had lots of money, I'd do this, this, and this. Well, you don't. So what are you doing with what you got? You know, it's like we only got one life. What are we doing with it? Well, God says that as a believer, we've got at least one talent, one ability, one special gift that the Holy Spirit's given us. Are we using the one we got? Or are we just wishing we had a different one, right? It's not a buffet where you can go down and pick out the one you want. You get the one the Holy Spirit wants you to have, because that's what you're going to need to be able to do what God wants you to do. And so, again, we use what we have, and we try to use it wisely. Now, he goes on here to say, there's a promise for us. He says, verse 11 says, "For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but that withereth the grass, the flower thereof falleth away, the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so shall the rich man fade away in his ways." Okay, so it can disappear. But notice verse 12. He says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, or the trial, or the test. For when he is tried or tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him that love him." God says, you make it through this, there is going to be a reward for you. And that you faithfully deal with the adversities that God sends your way, You look to the Lord for help and strength to make it through, and for wisdom in knowing how to respond to it. And we make it through the adversity. He says, God is going to reward you. He says, you're going to receive the crown of life. Now, I think we all know, what do we do with those crowns? Do we strut around heaven? My crown's shinier than yours. No. We come into heaven with nothing. If we get anything, it's because the Lord gives it to us. He gives us a crown. But ultimately, he alone is worthy. And so when we worship him, we're able to give the crown to the one that it belongs to. There's no crown, you have nothing to give, right? And so he says, like what he says here, it's we can have a joyful attitude having made it through, not, whew, boy, that was rough, you know, I'm glad that's over with. It was tough, but the Lord helped me through this, and here's what I've learned in the process of all that, okay? Hopefully we learn. Sometimes I think I'm a slow learner because I get to repeat the same trial over again. You know, it's like going back through that grade again. You didn't learn it the first time. We're going to let you try this again, all right? And but, you know, the Lord's trying to teach us things along the way, not just taking up time out of our lives or, you know, running us through the obstacle course. He's trying to accomplish something. Now, as we look through this, you know, there might be, we think about it, there might be one or two of these things that kind of stand out from the rest of them that, wow, I don't do so good about that, you know. You know, I've been a long time since I, you know, counted it joy when I went through a trial or difficulty. What's often our first response? Take it away, Lord. Make it go away. Make it all better. Let me turn back the clock and we can just kind of wouldn't we like to turn back the clock? Let's go back to 2019 or whatever, you know, and we just kind of get to go through this again and skip all this other stuff that we've had to face, all right? No, but maybe there's something we need to zero in on and say, Lord, I need your help with this one. He promises to give us wisdom, better knowing how to handle trials. And again, maybe we didn't do so good with the last one, but the Lord can help us as we face the next one. Wouldn't it be awesome if we just thought, okay, somebody asked me how old I was here the other week. I don't know, maybe that's not a good thing to tell everybody. Make a guess, you know. No, I turned 72. Wouldn't that be thing? Oh, if you can just make it to 72, no more problems. But just, you know, it's you got it made. It's just coast on in from here. It doesn't work that way, right? However many years or months or whatever got left, there are going to be some bumps in the road, just some potholes, you know. And you know, we got a nice smooth road out here that they put in. I don't know how many years it'll be before we're going down the road going, you know, the potholes will start showing up, right? But the Lord's going to help us through them all, okay? He's got better things in store for us. Folks, the best is yet to come. And that's what I think James is trying to get across to these people, you know. Don't just get so focused in on it. We still got to deal with the problems today, tomorrow, and the next day. But it will come to pass. You're going to get past that, you know, and God's got a whole lot better in mind for you ahead. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your help, your encouragement. We go through various kinds of trials, as no doubt as different as are our people here. We'd all respond to them a little bit differently. Lord, we pray that you'd grant us wisdom in knowing best how to handle them, how to understand them, learn from them, so we don't have to do the same one over and over again. Pray that you would help us to experience that joy within us. Yeah, the circumstances in and of themselves might be miserable, but we know God's allowed this for a reason, and we can trust him. We can trust him for eternity with our salvation. We can trust him today with this trial and tomorrow or however long it lasts. And we thank you that you know just exactly how much trial we can handle and how long it will last, when it'll be over. And when you've accomplished your purpose, it'll be done. And again, we can be thankful one of these days. All that training ground will be behind us. And your way of supplying our needs are going to be awesome throughout eternity. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you for coming. Hi. Hi, Sunshine. How you doing? Got some pretty flowers in your hair there, huh? Yeah. Got sparkles in them, huh? Do you think I'd look better with flowers in my hair and sparkles?